We're wondering if last week's dramatic win over the Detroit Lions was the turning point in the Green Bay Packers season, and perhaps we'll start to find out this Sunday when the Dallas Cowboys come to Lambeau Field. It's a rematch of last year's divisional round playoff game, and we bring on Joe Dallowizio of CBS Sports to help preview the game. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for a game against the Dallas Cowboys this upcoming Sunday. To help preview that game, we have joining us on the phone this morning, Joe Dallowizio, a producer at CBS Sports Radio. Mr. Dallowizio, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, Brian, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on. How are you?
Very good. We're glad to have you. To kick things off, just give us a little background, Joe, into what your job entails and how you became a Green Bay Packers fan.
Well, I'm an associate producer at CBS Sports Radio through Monday through Friday. I work solely on the DA show, the Damon Amendola show. And on the weekends, I'm an executive producer, produce several shows, the Jody McDonald show, Ken Carmen show, Nick Wright show, several shows. Basically, my responsibilities are just to book the shows, make sure that we get some guests, show outlines, plan the show, whether it be, you know, in plan the show for the future, things like that. Pretty much, I became a Packer fan when growing up, my cousin spoiled me with some Brett Favre gear, and ever since then, I kind of just stuck with it.
Very good. You're working Monday through Friday on the DA show, and then weekends, do you have time to eat and sleep in between?
I mean, it's very tough. I'm not going to lie. The schedule is all over the place. I find myself actually watching most of the Packer game live, making sure I tape it so then I could rewatch it later in the week.
Sounds good. Well, let's talk about the upcoming Packers game this weekend. To kick things off here, I think one of the interesting storylines this week from a Packers perspective, after being demoted last week against the Lions, do you think Eddie Lacy goes back to kind of being the starter and the bell cow in the Packers' backfield, or does he continue to take a back seat?
No, I certainly think that Lacy will go back to being the starter. And one thing that's become very evident this season for the Packers is their inconsistency when it comes to the run game. And when this team does not establish the run game, the offense becomes extremely predictable. Now, considering Mike McCarthy earlier in the week said that Lacy seemed rejuvenated, I definitely believe he'll go back to starting and he'll have some fire under him. Now, Aaron Rodgers is the key to this offense, but I really think that Eddie Lacy is the X factor. And in order for this Packer team to make a deep playoff run, a run to the Super Bowl, they're going to need the best of Lacy, and I think that starts on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think he's back. Maybe James Starks gets the start or whatever, but I think Eddie Lacy ends up being the guy who gets the bulk of the carries. But where does this leave the new addition at running back, John Crockett, who we saw last week? Was he just a stopgap addition, or will he continue to have a role going forward?
I think with Crockett, he was just a stopgap. But certainly time will tell. I think he'll have opportunities if, you know, Lacy continues to struggle, if he starts fumbling again. We've seen him have fumbling issues all year. If either Lacy or Starks go down. But he certainly did give a boost to the Packers during last week's Lions game. And you could tell he played with a ton of energy, a ton of heart and trying to prove that he belongs. And I think he made a case for himself. But the fact that the two top backs in Lacy and Starks are ready to go, I can't imagine there being many touches available for Crockett come Sunday.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you as well, agreeing a lot so far. Speaking of last week's game, will tight end Richard Rodgers continue to be a big target for Aaron Rodgers like he was last week, or was that just a flash in the pan?
I actually think Richard Rodgers will continue to be a big target for Aaron Rodgers. And last week's career game not only showed that he could be a big target, it showed that he could be reliable. And it definitely built some confidence in the young tight end. And confidence could go a long way in the NFL. And I think he made a case for himself to his quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, that he's reliable. He caught all 8 passes, which was great. He's dropped a few. He's struggling in other parts of his game. But I do think that he becomes a consistent target now to Aaron Rodgers. Now, will he duplicate that performance on Thursday? I don't think so. I mean, that was unbelievable. But if the Cowboys on Monday night, they did put a ton of pressure on the Washington Redskins. If they try to put a ton of pressure on the Green Bay Packers and try to stack the box in an effort to limit Eddie Lacy, I think Aaron Rodgers will have plenty of opportunities early and often to get Rodgers involved.
While we're on the topic of tight ends, how about Andrew Quarles? He's been now eligible to be activated for the Packers for a few weeks. They haven't done it. Is this the week the Packers finally activate him and get him involved?
Quite frankly, Brian, I don't think the Packers will activate Quarles this week. And especially after the week that Richard Rodgers had, I think they're going to just ride with that momentum. I can't imagine the chemistry between Quarles and Aaron Rodgers being up to par yet, that they're just going to throw him back into the loop. And if they were to bring him on, then they would have to, you know, reconfigure the roster a little bit. I believe they'd have to reduce the 53-man roster by one. And then come Sunday, you want to make sure that you have 46 capable players to be ready to go on the field. So I don't think this is the week for Andrew Quarles.
Yeah, I don't know who they'd cut. Maybe they're just waiting to find out if somebody eventually gets injured and then they kind of got the replacement already in hand. I don't know. We'll see with Andrew Quarles. We're talking to Joe DeLuisio of CBS Sports Radio this morning on Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. Joe, what about Ty Montgomery? Is this the week he finally gets healthy and contributes, or did the Packers play it safe with him as well?
Well, with Ty Montgomery, all signs seem to be pointing in the right direction for the rookie wideout. And, you know, it was definitely a positive this week that he practiced in 2 consecutive days. He hasn't done that in quite a while. And Coach McCarthy seems very optimistic that the rookie will be available on Sunday. Now, unless he has some type of late setback, I expect him to be on the field against the Cowboys. I don't think we'll see a full dosage of him, but I do expect him to be out there, and I would assume that the Packers would kind of limit his snaps and keep a close eye on him and not give rushing him all the way in, giving him 100%. But, I mean, having him out there would be crucial, another big weapon that the Packers certainly need on offense, considering how they perform the last several weeks. I mean, any weapon is a good weapon at this point.
Do you think that kind of applies to special teams as well? I mean, this is a guy we saw as a return specialist. He was so effective during his college days. Do you think they kind of play it safe and preserve his health by playing him only on offense?
Yeah, I think they would definitely keep it safe and only limit him just to offense, just to limit any further aggravation and re-injuring that ankle.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. The Packers offensive line, how much better do you think the Packers offense will be with a healthier offensive line, seeing as last week they were missing both Brian Blog and TJ Lang, and it kind of looks like they may be playing?
It's unbelievable that I believe at one point in last week's game, there was only one starter available on the field. And it just seems like that's the case almost every season with the offensive line constantly getting banged up. But no question that this Packers offense will be better come Sunday with a healthier offensive line. Having these extra couple of days of rest was crucial for this unit. And I think every week this offensive line is one of the key points to victory. And, you know, quite frankly, Brian, protecting Aaron Rodgers is key every week. And if you can't do that, if you were to lose your franchise quarterback, you can't compete in the NFL. So I certainly think that this offensive line will come, this unit will come together, be a much stronger, help protect Aaron Rodgers, give him some extra time, and this offense will be a lot better.
Yeah, kind of interesting when David Bakhtiari went out. He was only out for one play, but that was it. They were down to their last offensive lineman in reserve. It could have been a disaster. Thankfully, it wasn't. Go ahead.
What? It was shaping up to be a disaster up until that final play. So it was as close as to a disaster as it could have gone.
Yeah, I guess so. We talked a lot about offense. How much better is the Packers' defense with Jake Ryan in the starting lineup after making his first career start last week?
I mean, credit to Ted Thompson, because it seems like he found another valuable late draft pick here when they snagged Ryan, and I believe it was the fourth round of last year's draft.
And fifth round, even, I think.
I believe it was the fourth. I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, Ryan is interesting because he had an opportunity back in with the Packers, his first opportunity against the Denver Broncos, where the Packers really struggled in terms of containing Ronnie Hillman and C.J. Anderson. Nate Palmer ended up being pulled from that game, later went back in, but he certainly made an impact right away. And you could see from when he was out there on the field that he had some fire. He had some, you could see he wanted to be out there. His strength is on another level. And I think he's very smart, and he's been showcasing each week that he belongs out there. You saw in the Carolina game recording 10 tackles. You saw him last week recording 10 tackles again. I mean, I think he proved that he's ready to be an impact player on this defense and not just an intricate member of the special teams unit.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to what he does. Joe, before we let you go, can I get your prediction on the game, how you think it's going to play out?
Well, I know that Dallas is going to come out firing after last year's playoff incident. I know Dez Bryant's going to want to, you know, go off on this Green Bay Packers secondary. But I'll tell you this, Brian. Mike McCarthy and the Green Bay Packers have had a high level of success in this month of December since he's been there. And Aaron Rodgers has won his last three starts against Dallas, including the playoffs, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions, very high passer rating. I just think last week's emotional victory was a turning point for this Green Bay Packers team. And you know what? This Cowboys team doesn't have anything without Tony Romo. So I'm going to say the Packers are going to win 31-17.
I like it. I'll buy that. Joe, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate your insight. I'd love to do it again sometime, but enjoy the game and enjoy your weekend.
Absolutely, Brian. Thank you for having me on, and enjoy the game as well. Really appreciate it.
Sounds good. Take care. Joe D'Aloisio joining us, a producer at CBS Sports Radio. Glad to have him joining us this morning, and glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
Before we get to my own prediction, we'll hang on to that for a second. Just a few things that have been happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers since our last episode on Wednesday. The word that Joe D'Aloisio touched on before, Ty Montgomery, he's apparently cleared a hurdle. Those were the words from head coach Mike McCarthy earlier this week. I believe McCarthy said that during his Thursday press conference. Ty Montgomery, he's been listed for every game since his injury. Remember, this ankle injury, sprained ankle, happened originally week 6 of the season, last game before the bye. He hasn't played since that point. Every game, he's been either in the out or the doubtful category. And it finally looks like he was making some progress this week. After 2 consecutive weeks in which he did not practice whatsoever, he returned to practice this week, albeit on a limited basis, but still he headed in the right direction. And you know, things are looking better than they have, you know, since the injury. So there's some momentum building here. Whether it's enough to get him back out on the field against the Dallas Cowboys, we're not really sure. But he's cleared a hurdle, which is good. He's making progress, and it seems at some point, if not this week, maybe next, we'll see the return of Ty Montgomery. Keep your fingers crossed. And other injury news, perhaps on the if we gave you the positive news, the negative is that a few guys were out at practice yesterday. Corey Linsley has not practiced all this week. And it probably looks like, you know, the Packers would play it safe with him. Seeing as he suffered an ankle injury, he came back and aggravated it last week against the Detroit Lions. You have to imagine J.C. Tretter will be the starter at center this week, seeing as he got through last week's game. He seems to be fine. He's not listed on the injury report as he was last week. I would venture to guess Linsley will be out, and he's joined by Nick Perry, who was downgraded on the Packers injury report from limited on Wednesday to out on Thursday. He's got a shoulder injury. He had a shoulder injury earlier in the season. I don't know if the Packers are just kind of playing it safe with him at this point, and maybe that's why he's out, but still not good news for Nick Perry. I suppose your silver lining is that he wasn't a big, huge part of the Packers defense to begin with, but it's too bad for him. And that's those are kind of the guys who are most, you know, almost definitely looking to be out on Sunday when the Packers take on the Lions. Several players who are kind of in that, you know, limited category. We'll get an update later in the day when the Packers release their latest injury report on Friday. And one more item, having more to do with the practice squad than anything, but kind of a note for the future here as well. Offensive lineman Matt Rotherham received a raise on this week, signed first reported by Field Yates of ESPN. I myself has been able to confirm it through NFL Players Association data. That Matt Rotherham, you know, if you're on the practice squad, you really don't make all that much money, probably better than the regular person out there. But, you know, it's something like $6,600 a week or something like that for every week you're on the practice squad. That's what most of the guys get. Then a few of the real special ones might be lucky enough to get a raise, as Rotherham did this week. And he's the second Packers player to get a raise. Last month it happened to defensive lineman Christian Ringo. They both got raises that will pay them equal to the NFL's minimum salary for a guy on the 53-man roster. So even though they're on the practice squad, they're getting paid like they're on the 53-man roster. And this is just speculation. The Packers haven't commented on it, but sometimes that happens when another team is looking to fill a roster spot. You know, you can sign anybody from anybody's practice squad. That's kind of like those players aren't untouchable, because that's an upgrade. That's a raise for everybody else. But sometimes the Packers will be like, well, look, I mean, there's 1 month left in the season. You know our offense, you know our schemes already, and we'd like you to be part of our future. Here's what we'll do. We'll pay you like you're on the 53-man roster, but you stick with us, and we'll give you a contract in the off season and bring you back, and you'll have a chance to get a roster spot next year. Maybe the Packers just want to, you know, give these guys a raise for all the hard work that they've put together all year, and they just think they have a bright future. I don't know, that Ringo and Rotherham fall in that category, and that bodes well for their futures next year. These are two guys who will definitely be competing for spots on the 53-man roster in the 2016 season. And that's what this indicates more than anything right now, without knowing the full story behind it, whether they were offered a spot by another team. I don't know. Good news for those guys regardless. Okay. on to my prediction for this week's game. I'll start off by giving you the score. I think it's going to be 28-21 Packers. Just a generic score there, you know, no field goals or any, you know, weird scoring involved. Just four touchdowns versus three touchdowns. But the reason I think the Packers are going to win, and I'll explain why here, I just think they're starting to figure things out on offense here. And some of it is just simply a matter of getting healthy. Like we talked about with Joe DeLuisio, the offensive line is going to be in better shape. You got Lang and Bulaga coming back, hopefully Lindsley eventually. So they'll just be in better shape there and be able to protect Aaron Rodgers better and hopefully run the ball better as well. We may get Ty Montgomery and Andrew Corliss back. I mean, even if it's not this week, you know, maybe next week. And even if they don't, it seems like they're figuring things out with Richard Rodgers last week, figuring out how to use him to best make, you know, use of his talent. A guy who's not a speed burner, but still figuring out to get him the ball downfield instead of, you know, getting him north and south instead of vertically where he can't, you know, he's running outs. You know, it's better to have him run vertical routes, at least to an extent. Not like he's running, you know, deep patterns or he's gonna get a bomb or anything like that. But still, they're figuring things out, and I think, you know, the Packers really seem to want to put this Eddie Lacy thing behind them. I think as long as he kind of toes the line and doesn't do anything foolish like he did last week in breaking curfew, and a message seems to be sent, and Eddie Lacy, according to his comments at least, seems to have gotten that message. So I think they just want to go back. And again, I don't know, maybe James Starks gets the start, but I think Eddie Lacy is going to be the guy who gets the majority of the carries. And he's just going to go right back to getting the guy who is on track. You know, the previous 2 weeks when he had back-to-back 100-yard games. And, you know, this seems to be the time of year where Eddie Lacy starts to get going. So all those factors make me think the Packers are starting to figure things out. Maybe the offense will kind of, you know, work in fits and starts a little bit. Maybe not the full-on, you know, attack that it had been in previous seasons. But I think it's going to be better shape than it has, you know, since basically the bye week or things like that. So that's encouraging to me. On offense for the Packers, and for defense, I really see the only threat, at least from the skill position area, is from Dez Bryant. I mean, they got the backup quarterback. The rest of their, you know, skill position talent is not all that great. And I've just been encouraged by what Sam Shields has done this year, and I think he's going to get the call at least the majority of the time to cover Dez Bryant, and I think he'll do fairly well. He did darn well against Calvin Johnson last week, considering he was facing the best wide receiver in the entire league. He gave up the one touchdown, but hey, I mean, the Packers offense left him with a short field there. Nothing Shields could do about that. If you only give up one good play to Calvin Johnson a game, consider that a success. So I like what Sam Shields doing. Hey, they're going to have Quentin Rollins, Demarius Randall back as well. He missed last week with an injury. That's good news. They got Jake Ryan now at linebacker for now a second consecutive start, you would imagine. So these are all reasons I think the Packers are going to play well here and end up getting this win 28-21 over the Dallas Cowboys. So hopefully we got that to look forward to on Sunday. My record this year, straight up. So how many games are we? I'm 10-2 straight up predicting Packers games this year. So doing a pretty good job of that on this show. Let's go with our last segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Friday, the NFL's Clutch Performer of the Week Award, their sponsored Clutch Performer of the Week Award, will be announced on Friday, an award for which Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers is nominated. He's going up against the likes of Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers, Jameis Winston of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who else had big games last week, Blaine Gabbert of the San Francisco 49ers, and Ryan Fitzpatrick of the New York Jets. That's the competition. But Rodgers, of course, this is kind of good. It's the clutch performer of the week, basically given for, you know, having big moments at the end of the game, things like that. And here the Packers have, you know, they win in the most dramatic fashion possible on the Hail Mary 61-yard touchdown pass to tight end Richard Rodgers. It doesn't get any more clutch than that. So I think Aaron Rodgers is going to win, and that will be announced on Friday afternoon, typically announced on social media before anywhere else on their Twitter NFL 345 account if you want to follow along there. We'll find out later in the day, in addition to Packers releasing their final injury report of the week. That'll come Friday afternoon, really no set time, but always in the afternoon hours. And head coach Mike McCarthy, in fact, just briefly, if you're listening to the live edition of the show, you still have time to catch his last press conference before Sunday's game. Takes place at 9:30 a.m. Central Time at Packers.com, so you can follow along there. That's what's on the Packers schedule this Friday, so looking forward to that and looking forward to a game this weekend against the Dallas Cowboys. Enjoy it, folks. Enjoy your weekends. That'll do it for today's show. Thank you to Joe DeLuisio for joining us. My call to action, as always, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating on iTunes. Just go into iTunes, search for Cheesehead TV. It'll come up. Give us a rating or a review. One small thing we ask: the show's free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. Just do it once for us, and that's all we ask from you. Have a good weekend, folks. Go Pack Go, and go beat the Cowboys. I leave you today with a song called Freaker by The Speaker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack Go. Human dreidel.